At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Trina. Thank you so much for listening. Really, really, really loved this show. Spoke to Brian Windhorst, who from ESPN and the Hoop Collective Podcast, who dominated Twitter for a few days after a great segment on First Take about the Utah Jazz, where people initially thought he was rambling, and then Rudy Gobert gets traded, and Brian Windhorst becomes the star of Twitter for a few days. So he takes us through all that. Offers some unbelievably great insight on LeBron and his future. Great stuff on Kevin Durant, whether he feels competitive with Woj and Shams. So great, great interview with Brian Windhorst, followed by Train of Thoughts with Sal Licata, as we do every week, where we get into a couple of sports stories and non-sports stories. So stick around for that. Before we get to Windhorst, just quickly, last week on the SI Media Podcast, Aaron Andrews. 2 weeks ago, Scott Van Pelt. 3 weeks ago, Paul Bissonnette, a.k.a. Biz Nasty. If you missed any of those interviews, go into the archive. Check them out. Subscribe, rate, and review. All right, let's get to this week's show. Brian Windhorst, followed by Train of Thoughts with Sal Licata, right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, if you've been on Twitter over the past few days, you've seen him nonstop after, I hate using the phrase, but going viral for a great moment on First Take. And of course, he covers the NBA from ESPN, Brian Windhorst. Brian, thanks for coming on the SI Media Podcast. How you doing?
Good afternoon to you. I think it's afternoon where you are.
Yes. I'm in New York. It's afternoon. I think just from being on social media all day, I think your run is over because of Chet Holmgren. I can't remember the last time.
Thank God. Thank God.
I can't remember the last time a summer league game got so much attention, but my God, it's been nonstop since last night. So, but you had quite a week.
It happens. It all happens.
Yeah.
It all happens.
Take me through what happened last week, because people have had so much fun with it. And I saw a great tweet from someone that's, you know, there's this thing for those of us who are on Twitter all day because of our jobs. You know, the saying goes, you never want to be the star on Twitter, but you were the star for a good reason. Let me start with this. When you were speaking about the Jazz on First Take, at any point, because the clip that went viral, which is now, I checked before we started, up to 5.8 million views. It's like a 2 minute and 20 second clip. Did at any point a producer in your ear say, like, wrap it up, or, you know, bow out, let somebody, or was it all natural and it just played out the way we saw it?
No, and that's why it happened. Because First Take is a show that the A block of First Take, I've been on it when it's gone up to 25 minutes before. It's not usually scripted out to that. It's got air. You know, most ESPN shows, specifically the morning TV shows, first off, you're not getting three straight minutes of talking on one topic, and you're certainly not getting it on the Utah Jazz. And I don't say that with any animus. I mean, you know, the ESPN shows, the topics are curated by data analysis. What you're seeing is a product of what you're watching as a collective. I've been at ESPN 12 years now, and one of the big differences from where I've started when I started until now was just how much analysis they have, the producers and the decision makers have, on what people are watching, what they respond to. For anybody that complains about what they're seeing, they can only look to their neighbors, because that's what their neighbors want to see. And so First Take is a show that, you know, has air. And basically what happened is I was doing a podcast. That's a topic of conversation. Not only was it a topic of conversation for a podcast, I had done the topic the night before on my podcast, quite frankly. And so in that particular show, Stephen A. was on vacation that week. I don't think this is a secret. He had shoulder surgery. I think he popped up doing a hit after the Durant trade request wearing a shoulder sling. He had surgery. He's off that time of year every year. He finally takes some time off, but he was having shoulder surgery. I was in with Mad Dog Russo for two or three days that week in First Take, and he was sort of the lead voice on First Take. And by the way, it was the first time I ever worked with Mad Dog, and I loved it, as a quick aside.
I'm a diehard. I mean, I've listened to him for 30 years here in New York, and he's quite a character. So I can't imagine, you know, that first time when you work with him has got to be a very unique experience, just because there's no personality in sports media like his.
I mean, look, I love him, you know, and like, this is a thing, like nowadays when you say you like someone, it's like, oh, does that mean you support every single one of his views? You son of a bitch. You know, like, I mean, no, but I really, really enjoy him. You know, like we just had this happen in the NBA. Like this show came on HBO about the Showtime Lakers.
Right.
I have some friends in the media, like Bob Ryan, for example, who's one of the guys I respect immensely. I mean, Bob Ryan was like deeply, personally offended about that show. Like, and I get it. I mean, I got the full blast from Bob Ryan when I saw him. And, you know, Mark Stein, my colleague, you know, who had known Jerry West for such a long time. Like, these folks are like super upset. And I'm like, you know, like, if you made a show about people I'd known for 30 years and it was like way off, I get it. I'm not judging them. But Jimmy, I really liked it.
Me too.
I really, really liked John C. Riley as Jerry Buss. I'm sorry if that makes me a bad person, but I liked it. I like Mad Dog Russo. Okay. Like it. So I had a really good time working with him, but he was out on Friday. He was not doing the show. I don't know where he was, but you know, people were on vacation, you know? And so like, the set was made up of, with all due respect to my coworkers, it was fill-ins. And so when it came to the NBA, I had the floor in that show.
And you used it.
I turned it into a podcast is what I did. Yeah.
Now, and when you spoke about the Jazz in that 2-minute clip, did you know Rudy Gobert was going to be traded or was on the block, or there was a possibility that that was going to happen?
I knew he was likely to be traded. You know, you always got to be careful with this verbiage.
Right.
I was pretty sure he had almost been traded the night before. So, you know, you're never in, you know, that's the thing with covering the NBA. You're never in the room where it happens, typically. So you're never 100% sure. But I was pretty sure Gobert was about to get traded. And
so, You go ahead.
And there was just, you know, this, you know, the Durant stuff had been covered like intently for 20 hours. And this was something that was very interesting. That was a curveball. You're not always going to be able to generate that kind of storyline. It was sort of a perfect little moment, but, I had talked about it on my podcast the night before, and it was like effectively, the dry run. And, you know, when you do First Take and get up in the morning, the studios are side by side. They're about maybe 50 feet apart across the hallway with a bathroom in between. And I normally have to stop in the bathroom real quick. And like literally you, it's like almost like a pit crew. You get up ends. One person comes over to handle your microphone. One person comes over to handle your earpiece. You walk to the next set, holding your microphone cord in one hand and your earpiece cord in the other. And they, you know, vroom, vroom, drill you both in and bam, you're on. You know, it's like, you know, less than 3 minutes between when I'm off first take or when I'm off get up and on first take. I don't do it every day, but I've done it many times.
Yeah.
And I had communicated with the producers of the show. And as we entered that, you know, they knew that I had this jazz stuff. And as we entered that segment, the producer was in my ear and he said, go ahead. This is where you do that. And I don't think he knew, like he knew he had the basic understanding. He didn't know, he didn't know exactly what I was going to say or what I was going to set up and doing. And look, you know, the other part of that show is that they have a whole bunch of different cameras at all kinds of different angles. It's by the way, Sam Tanucci was the producer who, I mean, I'm not saying he was the only person, but he was the person who was in my ear who was like, go for it. But they have a whole bunch of different cameras and angles. You know, the cameras are 360. And so they have different angles that they can set, you know, that sort of made it more possible to capture the angles I was going at. And I don't know if I'll ever have something like that again. I will say that if you like hearing that kind of stuff, the Hoop Collective podcast has been around literally for years. We do it twice a week, pretty much year round. And this is the type of conversations we have. I can't promise they're all going to have that sort of mysterious delivery with instantaneous payoff that happened within like 3 hours or whatever. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah. Bad job by me. I should have mentioned at the top when I introduced you that you are part of the Hoop Collective podcast, which people can find
on Apple,
Spotify, and everywhere.
No, I'm not trying to promote it or anything, but
no, I should have promoted it. I mean, you're nice enough to come on. I'm not one of these podcast people that won't promote other podcasts. I'll promote any podcast. I don't care. So tell me, and so you set it up perfectly there, and it was just phenomenal the way it played out, because when it first happened, and that video hit Twitter, it was, you know, the response was like, this is funny. You know, Brian Windhorst is going on a long explanation of talking about the Jazz, which, like you said, not exactly a sexy NBA team that people get into. And his coworkers were sort of, you know, watching him on this masterpiece, the way you were using your hands and everything. And we thought it was that. And then a few hours later, the Gobert trade happens and everyone's like, oh, ho, let's give Brian Windhorst his props. I want to know how you found out, what your reaction was when that trade became official. I mean, obviously, it sounds like you knew it was going to happen, but take me where
I
mean, were you?
I didn't know for sure it was going to happen. I mean, look, right. You want the real here?
Yeah.
We live in an era where people like me, when I say stuff on radio or TV or podcasts, a group of aggregators come down on it and will pick the news out of it and present it. A lot of times out of context. Now, I am not taking a position that is some sort of crime, because that is what sports writers do for athletes. We listen to 12 minutes of copy of an interview, and we will pick out four sentences and put them in a story. I will say that the experience over the last 5 to 7 years of getting aggregated has completely changed the way I handle quotes from athletes. I totally think about them differently and try to be way more sensitive. Having said that, I am a part of shows on ESPN every single day that is doing the type of aggregation that also happens to me. And as a result, I feel like sometimes I have to walk a tightrope is straight. This is some sort of winding path over a crocodile, nest, because like Jimmy, dozens, hundreds of times I will have done a radio interview, literally go a day or go 12 hours and do 7 other interviews. And my phone will light up and it's an agent or an executive or even my desk at ESPN going, what is this? And it's like in the link and it'll say report: and my heart instantaneously sinks. Right. And like sometimes I've literally gone through 24 to 48 hours of hell over something that is aggregated from something that I said, where literally it was like the 15th, I'm not exaggerating when I say 15th, where I've said something 15 times, sometimes where I've said something 15 times over like years. But for whatever reason, that time and the way it's presented creates a 3-alarm fire. And so what I was doing in that, that discussion was basically trying to avoid aggregation. I mean, definitely I was having some fun with it because that particular story, that particular moment with had a nice little storyline that I could maneuver. Like I was writing a story, like I was talking a podcast. But if I had come on there and said, hey, league executives are telling me that Rudy Gobert might be getting traded soon. Kapoom! Like I would be, you know, the next 11 shows. What is your Rudy Gobert information? What is the latest with Rudy Gobert? What is the latest? And like, I was pretty sure he's getting traded, but I wasn't prepared to like say that. And like, I'm constantly, because I'm in my job, they say, here's our NBA insider. And so my job is to deliver inside information, but I don't, not everything I say has the same weight. Right. And there's nuance, but that nuance is exploded by aggregation because everything can look like a headline.
And how did you find out officially Gobert was traded?
Oh, I was on this just in.
Okay.
I was on just this shin and Woj tweeted about it. It was funny. The day before, you know, I had heard about 30 hours before Durant asked for a trade. I had heard Durant was going to ask for a trade. And, of course, I can't say that because if I say that, it's a 17 alarm fire and like I am being poked by 1,000 different things. But I knew that there was, and by the way, just because I heard it, I mean, Kevin could have changed his mind. So I knew, and Tim Bontemps, who was with me on this just in, knew that there was a chance that Durant was going to ask for a trade before the start of free agency. We knew about it. We had talked about it with our sources. We had talked about it with ourselves. So, you know, just like when DeJounte Murray gets traded for the Hawks, Tim and I were on air. I can't remember what show we were. Oh, I think we were on, we might've been on Get Up. Or maybe we were doing a podcast, whatever it was. Tim and I were on air when that happened earlier in the week. And instantaneously, Tim and I, we'd already talked about all our sources. Within 5 seconds of hearing it, we were able to give analysis of it because we were prepared for it. So the day before on this just in, Tim and I were off. We were sitting over on the side and the Woj report comes through and they'd actually been getting ready. The Big Ten. I'm sorry. I'm rambling here, Jimmy. Big Ten had just done the thing with USC and UCLA and they were lining up Pete Thamel. To be in fact, you know, we were in a break and Pete Thamel was lining up his shot and getting all ready. And he's talking to Dan Graziano and we were getting ready to go. And Tim and I were off on that segment. And then we see the trade or then we see the story and we didn't even wait for the producers. We just stood up. Tim and I stood up and started walking to the set. We were in break and we're like, well, we're going to be on this segment. They're blowing out poor Pete. Cause I've been on the other side of that, by the way, I've been on the other side where we're doing some, you know, routine NBA segment and, you know, some NFL player is, you know, is out for the year or something and pff, you're gone, get out of here. Winners. And so the next day we're again in break and I was on set and Tim was off set and Tim texts me, well, the Gobert trade's done. And, they blow up the rundown. And so, but again, I've been preparing for Gobert trade stuff for days. The night before at dinner, Tim and I finished working at the Seaport Studios. I don't know, late. The ESPN did an NBA Today free agency show. And I think it was from 7 to 9. And we walked to an Italian restaurant near the Seaport and near the Seaport. And like literally my whole way over, I was talking to an executive basically going over the Gobert trade and how it was setting up and what, who was in the trade and whatever. And Tim spent the whole dinner, like you hear about going over the back of a napkin. Well, we were writing a napkin, basically looking at our laptops figuring out what a Gobert trade would look like and how it could be a four-team trade that would involve Durant. Like, we spent the morning. So, like, when that trade happens, we're ready. We're ready. And so,
is there any feeling of either vindication, satisfaction, I told you so, any of that?
No, because I already knew. Like, this is like the same thing that happened in February with the James Harden trade. Like, I knew they were probably going to do a Harden Simmons trade.
Right.
It doesn't mean it was absolutely going to happen. And again, like, this is why it's a problem, because you say it on a podcast or you say it on television or you craft it in a story a certain way. And then you see that headline report colon and you're like, oh, right. Man.
Right. Right.
But look, again, I'm not criticizing that. It's just a reality.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So like when that Harden trade goes down, I go, yeah, okay. Okay. Let me figure out what the details are.
Right.
The Gobert trade goes down. Let me figure out what the details are. Like, it's my job to suss that stuff out and to be ready for it. And there's been times where I've thought things are going to happen. Instead, I thought things were going to happen where it didn't happen. So,
right.
I know that this is going to sound like, oh, he's just being modest. It wasn't another day at the office. And I do that all the time, but it was another transaction. I've got 12 transactions right now I'm tracking and having discussions about. Maybe 90% of them aren't going to happen, but no, that's the job.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I want to get into some of those transactions and do some NBA stuff, but I just want to spend 2 or 3 minutes here just on, again, becoming like the viral sensation, what that experience is like. I'm just curious. The meme started to flood in. You're obviously probably scrolling through Twitter all day because you're trying to get information. How bizarre is it to scroll and see you like this, you know, tweet after tweet after tweet for a couple of days?
I know this is what people want. I know people, what people want is that I was tickled pink and was, you know, dancing around. First off, life isn't Twitter. That's number one.
Right.
It's not real life. Second off, I mean, like, I was all over New York City in airports. You know, nobody I encountered in real life said, I mean, so I get recognized sometimes. No one I encountered in real life said one word. Okay. That's number one. I mean, my friends and family when I came home. Secondly, I've been on the other side of that, maybe not that intently, but like, you know, I said something during the finals where I talked about how the Warriors payroll, which was $300 some odd million, the largest in the history of the game, was a factor in the finals, which I'm so sorry, is 1.9 trillion percent true. When you have the largest payroll in the history of the game, it has an impact on you winning and losing finals games. Right. I wasn't tracking it, but from what I could tell, I got the volume, obviously, because most of it was Warriors fans, I assume, volume of that did not match this. This obviously was the largest volume ever, but like I was getting skewered for saying that. And by the way, I stand by every syllable. I probably didn't make the presentation wasn't as smooth and articulate.
You said checkbook win, didn't you? I think checkbook.
Yeah, I said checkbook. Yeah, I said this is a checkbook win. And that.
Yeah, it's an easy phrase for people to latch on and
right. That, go after that, you hit in a certain way. And, maybe if I had been crafting it a little bit better, I wouldn't have said it that way.
Right.
But yeah, I said checkbook win. And like, I got skewered for that. Skewered. By the way, it was true. I stand by it. Just like I stood by what I said about what the Jazz were doing. I stand by it. I think both were equally accurate. So I can't, as doing my job, I can't sit there and let negative reaction about something I think is true affect me. So I can't let overwhelmingly, it was nice. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate it.
But did you have a tweet or meme that you saw that made you laugh maybe more than the others? Did any of them make you laugh?
I laughed at some of them, but I can't remember which they were, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
What I have been saying, because dozens of people are asking me this, Jimmy. So I have an answer. I'm gonna tell you right now, it's not a serious answer, but since I'm pulling the curtain back, I have an answer to give a satisfactory response to that that will get me out of the answer, and then people will maybe give a little smirk. So I'll give it to you now.
Sure.
But just between me and you, not for anybody else in the world to hear, right? Except for people listening to this podcast, I say, the Target one. And if Target wants to contact me to offer an endorsement contract, I'm ready to listen. That was the reason I say that is because number one, I would like a endorsement deal. Thank you. And number two, I just know that that was one of the biggest ones. So a lot of people who have seen it probably saw that one. Yeah. I am very appreciative of the kind words everybody said. I'm thankful for it, but I promise you, and I know it's not, I know I'm being a bit of a sourpuss.
No, it's okay.
It really does not change my life. It's not like ESPN reached out and we're like, you know what? After that, we're going to double your salary. Just like ESPN, if I had a take that wasn't popular, wouldn't say to me, you know what? We're cutting your salary in half.
Yeah. But listen, obviously I'm, everything you say, I agree with 100%. Twitter is not real life. It doesn't change your life. But I would imagine it has to be a little strange when people are making tweets that have nothing to do with you, like you said, the Target one, and then throwing up your picture with the, the hands while you're scrolling.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all.
Jimmy, you're right. But like, not to this level, of course. I've never trended to that level, but this sort of stuff has been happening to me for a long time.
Right.
And someday it will, maybe it's tomorrow, I will get the other end of the stick. And because I've had the other end of the stick, I'm a little bit wary about jumping into that pool and doing backflips.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to some NBA stuff and some career stuff. When I told a couple of people you were going to be on, everyone said, ask him what his relationship is like today with LeBron. What is his relationship like today with LeBron? Because you covered same high school as LeBron, covered him with the Heat, covered him with the Cavs. I don't know if that's something you would, you want to get into, but that's what people seem to ask me to ask you. And I'm just curious about what your relationship is like with LeBron after covering him for so long.
I mean, I haven't really communicated with him much at all in the last few years because the pandemic happened and frankly, the Lakers haven't been, first off, the pandemic happened. So you weren't doing in-person interviews. I mean, I don't communicate. I mean, in years past, I've messaged with him, but we both kind of moved on. LeBron doesn't have personal relationships like that with reporters. He hasn't for a long time. I mean, in person, I know my mother was a teacher for 40 years at the high school where we both went. And this summer he was at the high school and saw my mom and gave her a hug and talked to her. And he was very nice with her. I mean, she's had more interaction with him in the last couple of years than I've had because of that, you know. Right. So when I would see him, I would talk to him. Before, you know, in LA, there's so much media there that there's like, you know, and, you know, the locker room situation has gone down to nil. I mean, I would talk to him in the locker room. Right. You know, I didn't go over to his house to have, you know, wine and cigars. So, right. I talked to him in the locker room and like in the hallways for 2 decades. And so that sort of cut off and, you know, just frankly, the Lakers haven't been that relevant of a team.
Yeah.
So I haven't been in person to a playoff game since he went to LA because he's only been in one playoff run and it was in the bubble.
Right. 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 Makes sense. This is a very dumb question considering what you just said, but as someone who did cover him for a long time, and obviously you still keep tabs on him, you have any opinion on how long you think he's going to keep playing?
I think he loves playing. I think he loves living in Los Angeles. He is enamored with the idea of playing with his son. I don't want to, put myself in his mind and tell you exactly what he thinks because that's not fair to him. But if I could ask him a really revealing question, like if you told me, Brian, you get one question with LeBron today and he has to tell the truth, but you get one question. My question would be, do you want to win another championship or do you want to play with your son? Because I personally don't believe, I know that this is not allowed in the world of punditry. I don't believe LeBron has to prove one iota more thing. I don't care if he doesn't take another dribble in the NBA. I don't care if he goes out and throws granny shots from half court 50 times in a game. He doesn't owe anybody anything. And if people were like, well, he wants his legacy, you know, we want to get our fingers out and count the rings. I'm like, go for it, dude. You want to count your rings, you count them. Enjoy. Have a nice show. Take it easy. He doesn't owe anybody anything. But like when he starts talking about his son, if you want to know about LeBron, you look at his eyes. I know this is kind of a basic human emotion. When LeBron is interested in an interview, when he cares about the interview, he will look at the interviewer. When LeBron doesn't care about an interview, and by the way, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the interviewer or the question. It's just like, you know, the guy does 300 interviews a year.
Yeah.
Like there would be times where I would just, where we'd come to do a LeBron interview session. And I would watch the first question and he'd get asked a question and he'd look up like this and give like a rote answer. Turn off the mic, not today. And there were other days where LeBron was engaged and you knew you were going to get solid for not gold, platinum. Okay. When you see LeBron's eyes, when he talks about his son, and there's people don't understand. When LeBron was a rookie, Ken Griffey Jr. was the king. When he was a kid, people always talk about Jordan. Yeah, of course he loved Jordan. Of course, basketball was his sport. You know, of course he did. He loved Ken Griffey Jr. He wasn't much into baseball, but he loved Ken Griffey Jr. And it helped that the guy who became his, father figure, his Sherpa at Nike, his the general, LeBron calls him the general, Lynn Merritt at Nike. Lynn's job before handling LeBron at Nike was handling Ken Griffey Jr. Because remember, Ken Griffey Jr. had like big a pretty Nike significant guy. Nike contract. Yeah. I know when I worked at Athletic Attic in the Rolling Acres Mall in Akron, Ohio, which was my first job when I was 16, guys would come in to the store and they would want to go, you got the new Griffeys. You know, they wanted the Griffeys, the Griffey right. shoe. I don't think it was called the Ken Griffey shoe. It wasn't like his name, but like, yeah, people came in and wanted Jordans, but people came in and wanted Griffey's too. That was my right. personal. Well, that was LeBron's. You know, I was 16. LeBron was 9 or something like that. So, you know, and like Ken Griffey Jr. came to LeBron's first game in the Nike seats at LeBron's first game. Lynn Merritt, who just retired at Nike. Lynn, congratulations on a great run. Although I don't think he's really retired. They just said he was retired, but Lynn Merritt. Phil Knight, Ken Griffey Jr., Wes Wesley. Those were the 4 Nike seats for LeBron's first game. So LeBron was very aware of, and for a long time has always had a great affinity for Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. playing together. He has loved that concept. Of course, when you're 19 years old, it's a little hard to envision you playing with your son, right? Well,
right.
Now LeBron's 37 and his son is 17, and now it's a reality. And so he is super duper into that. And yeah, he wants to win this year with the Lakers. Yeah, he'd love to get another title. He gets excited by going to his son's game and watching his son excel. And by the way, his son's a great player. I don't know how he's going to be, but when you watch Bronny James play, and when I watched him when he was like 14, you know, okay, he was only, you know, 5'11", 6 foot at the time. He plays the game exactly how his dad would. In fact, he probably shares the ball more than his dad did. And you can tell LeBron raised him to play the same way. He wants to share the ball. It is the inverse of so many great players. So, you know, LeBron is so proud of it. And also when you look at Bronny, even when he was 14 years old, he was like ripped. And I'm sure he had great training. And of course he had a personal trainer and the best weight room a 14-year-old could ever dream of, but he had to do the work. You know, he's the work. So I can only imagine the pride that LeBron has in his son and the concept that he could play with his son, especially when he had no relationship with his own father. I mean, I remember the night that Bronny was born and LeBron had to leave the team and he wasn't married to Savannah and it was kind of a thing. And he had to explain it. He was going to disappear for a while. He had to explain it. And he said, I want to be to this, my son, what my father wasn't to me. And it sounds corny, but my God, he has been. So anyway, sorry. I went on that. That's the interesting LeBron story. That's still to come.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm a huge LeBron fan. So I agree with everything you said. And in terms of being a father, you could clearly see he's walked the walk. So that would be great if he could end up doing that. I want to flip what you had said there about if you could ask LeBron any question. If you could ask Kevin Durant any question today, what would it be?
Why aren't you happy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you think this is going to play out? I mean, a lot of NBA people seem to think the Nets have all the leverage here and he may not get traded. What do you think?
Listen, man. And one thing I'll tell you about the NBA, judge people on their actions, not their words. Okay. The Nets were saying James Harden wasn't going to get traded.
Right.
Okay. I can't tell you how impressed and I can't tell you the emotions I had with Durant last year at the Olympics. It was my first ever Olympics. I don't even really know if it qualifies as covering the Olympics because I was essentially living in a bunker going in between, living in a bubble in Tokyo. But I covered Team USA and, I know it was August. I know people were kind of tired because it was happening at the same time as the finals, basically. And I couldn't tell how much people were watching and the U.S. lost the first game. It was really hard to win that gold medal. Like, it was really hard. The Australian team that they beat in the semifinals was really good. And the French team they beat in the final had just beaten them twice, had beaten them twice in a row. They were really good. Should the U.S. have won? Yes. Were the Americans favorite? Yes. But Durant to go play for that team when he didn't have to. I mean, he did it because he loved the game and he loved playing for Team USA. And it wasn't like he had to prove anything to me. I already knew he was a great player. But him doing that and absolutely carrying the Americans there. Like, I don't know, in my field, he didn't get like proper credit for that. He had just torn his Achilles, okay? Mm-hmm. And he comes and plays and delivers a gold medal for the U.S. I mean, Greg Popovich, if it wasn't for COVID protocols, I think would have kissed him clean on the lips at the end of the gold medal game. Because Pop was facing, a pretty rough spot. You know, they had finished seventh under his watch in the World Cup in 19, which I know nobody cares about, but it wasn't good. And they were in trouble several times in the Olympics, and Durant bailed them out. And Durant loves basketball so much, and he is so brilliant. And I am offended by people who want to put some sort of weird asterisk on the 2018 title. The second he won in Golden State, they were so much better than the Cavs. His being there was just a luxury item. anybody who wants to say that the title that he won in 2017 over a Cavs team that was one of the best teams LeBron's ever played for, absolutely dominant Cavs team. They were 12-1 in the East playoffs. That team wins the championship probably in 75 to 90% of the seasons in the history of the NBA. That Cavs team was absolutely loaded. And Durant dropped a dagger on them. And the insults that people have to make that title less than is absolutely stomach-churning and completely unfair to Kevin Durant. The Warriors, I mean, maybe the Warriors win like in a game seven grinder if Steph Curry is red hot. But by like Draymond Green's, you know, great articulation, Steph Curry wasn't the player in 2017 that he is now. He didn't really become the player he is now until after Durant left. He kind of changed his body and everything. Kevin Durant doesn't owe anybody an apology for anything. And it's offensive to me that he has felt the need to like go places to try to become happy because he's judged, his accomplishments are judged in less than. That is bull bleep. I don't want to hear it. So I don't think it's fair that Kevin has had to endure what has been an attack on his accomplishments. I hate the word legacy. I won't use it. An attack on his accomplishments. It really upsets me. Anytime somebody talks about an asterisk going to a title, I have covered 12 playoff runs for teams from start to finish. That is, I mean, look, I understand it's not, you know, winning over Iwo Jima, okay? We'll keep it in perspective. We're covering sports here.
Right.
We're not talking about somebody completing neurosurgery. I understand right. that. But the journey that it takes to get to a championship, I don't care what I don't care who's got a sprained knee. I don't care who, you know, tore his Achilles 3 months earlier. I don't care about any of that. To win is so hard. I absolutely patently refuse to accept anybody that denigrates that. And so for Kevin to be in this situation is unfair to him. But I also don't understand why he can't be content. I will defend what's unhappy. I think it's unfair what's happened to him, but he is clearly not content. And he has put himself in the situation because despite what should be a tremendous enjoyment of his success, he can't enjoy his success, which I think is sad.
I know you got to go. I'm going to do two questions here real quick. The first one, just give me a yes or no. Any chance he ends up with the Warriors?
I mean, when you keep it down to yes or no, like I have to say there's a chance.
Okay.
Is there a 0.06523 chance? I mean, I think it's very unlikely, but I think there's a chance.
All right. Last question. I have to ask this. There's nothing like the NBA in terms of player movement, trades, draft, this, that.
Report. Winhurst says there's chance Durant could be with Warriors. Exactly what could happen.
How competitive do you feel with Woj and Shams?
Not.
Okay. We'll end it there. I appreciate it.
Woj is completely untouchable in my mind. His brilliance at what he does is I wouldn't trade with Woj for a day, even though he's spectacular. He's the highest paid sports writer of all time. And he earns every dollar of it. And he's brilliant. And people don't even know what you think you see of Woj. It's 1% of the pie. Secondly, I've known Sham since he was 17. And I'm not going to get involved in like the intricacies of where they go back and forth. I wish there wasn't so much animosity, but such is life. People have no idea how hard Shams works. I think he is also insane that he basically gave up. I feel like I regret giving up my college experience for work. Shams gave up his teen years and his college experience to get where he's gotten now. If people like, he's like 25. I mean, so like, there are moments where they may do things that aren't, you know, the greatest, but those two guys, they're the way they work. Come on, man. Like listen, we live in a world where it's like, what's the next story? 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 Like there's no memory that happens. And like the internal drive that they have is both tremendous, but I can't tell you how amazing it is to work with Adrian Wojnarowski. So, and I've worked with him enough to know that I could never be him. I don't want to be him just for sanity's sake. And there's never been anybody like him. And I was old enough to watch how Peter Vesey worked. Mm-hmm. And I have huge respect for Peter Vesey. But Adrian Wojnarowski, years ago, I called him the 31st franchise. That implies that he's got one equal share.
Right.
No, he's the second commissioner. He doesn't have the same powers. He's not the 31st franchise. He's the second commissioner.
I appreciate you coming on, answering that question. And I know it's a busy time with the summer league. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this, and I thank you, and send Chet Holmgren a text for bumping you out of the Twitter spotlight. Now looks like it's over for you.
That's too bad.
Chet Holmgren.
I'll never recover.
I mean, you would have thought he won game 7 of the NBA Finals over the last 12 hours, the way people are reacting. It's crazy.
That is the internet. It has no memory. Yeah. Forget in a minute.
Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate it.
Take care. Easy.
Okay. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, joining me now for my weekly Train of Thought segment, as he does every week from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how are we doing on this post 4th of July week?
Hey, I was thinking of you over the last couple of days because of the amount of fireworks. It was just, you were right to rip it. I was like, yeah, no big deal. And then in the midst of it, over the course of the weekend, it was endless. It was loud. It was obnoxious. And you were the first person I thought of.
Yeah, it should be banned. Fireworks should be banned. I'll tell you what else should be banned.
I think they are. It's just not, nobody does anything about it.
They're the worst. I'll tell you what else I think should be banned, and I have an irrational, like, I don't know. I usually don't let things like this bother me. Usually, things like fireworks, I let bother me because they affect my life when they're being shot off all around me. Things that don't affect my life, I'm pretty good at not letting them bother me. But I'll tell you something that I hate almost more than anything in the world. It's that stupid hot dog eating contest. I cannot believe it still goes on. I just can't. I can't believe it goes on. I can't believe people pay attention to it. I can't believe people cover it. I can't believe people enjoy it. I think it's the dumbest thing we've ever done in America that has become an event?
Great, better athlete, Joey Chestnut or Steph Curry? I mean, you would think that, like,
right. I want bad things to happen to anyone who would ask that question. Bad things.
I do not have time for it. I mean, there was a part, there was a couple of years where I would, you know, if I were going to work early on 4th of July and it would be on or became a thing, but I never really gave a crap about it. So I just can't. That's not one again.
Yeah, I guess I know. What I can't get over is that people pay attention to it. And again, it's on ESPN, so it automatically is going to get all eyeballs. I mean, they can put anything on ESPN, it gets eyeballs. So if it was on any other network, like, I'll give you a good example. You know what used to get a lot of buzz because it was on ESPN was the spelling bee. And then they left ESPN and they went to another channel. I forgot what it was. Doesn't get nearly. Yeah. If the hot dog fucking thing, whatever it is, left ESPN, nobody would watch it, but it's on ESPN, so people watch it. It's so bizarre. Like, I don't understand the appeal on any level.
Right.
But so between the hot dog eating contest, the fireworks, it's just what a horrible day. I want to transition here for a moment on a serious note. I just want to give a shout out. I don't know if that's the right term. I want to acknowledge the passing of Hank Goldberg. I don't know what your deal with Hank was, but I always enjoyed whenever I saw him on ESPN, radio host, did a lot with the horses, but he was also one of the few people who was part of the betting world when it was sort of, you know, taboo and under the radar and you're not allowed to talk about it. But like he was no, you know, it was like, you know, Jimmy the Greek and who's the other guy who passed away? Pete Axthelm and Hank Goldberg were all known for like being in the gambling world, even though back when he was on TV and had a big presence on ESPN, you weren't really supposed to acknowledge gambling. But so I always enjoyed when I saw him on ESPN because it was a little like, you know, wink to all the gamblers out there. So I wanted to just mention his passing and that I always enjoyed seeing him on ESPN.
Yeah, I loved him. He's one guy that, I mean, like you, I grew up with. Now, I don't remember Jimmy the Greek. He was before my time. So Hank Goldberg was probably the first guy that was giving picks out like that on, I don't know if it was SportsCenter, I forget the shows exactly, whatever it was on right. ESPN. But I remember it regularly. And I would think about it, just him and Berman were the two that I think of when I think back to, you know, having picks with the spread. It was those two guys for years grew up watching both those. So I was sad to hear about that from him.
Yeah, same here. In terms of sports, I feel like there's absolutely nothing going on right now except for Kevin Durant. Baseball's going on, you know, it's the middle of July. There's nothing there that's going to grab you. Wimbledon, okay. NFL is completely dead right now. But it's Kevin Durant. And the one thing I would say about the, you know, he wants to be traded. The Nets have the leverage. The one thing I saw it in a quick Twitter scroll, but did not read into it. So I don't know how true it is, but something about him possibly going back to Golden State. Yeah. Now, if he did that, he would get murdered, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think he's going to get ripped here. And regardless, he's already shown that he's soft by leaving OKC, going to, you know, join the coattails of the Warriors, then leaving to go to the Nets, only to have that implode 3 years later and request a trade. What a you-know-what. And, I mean, it plays to the point where he's fighting with people on Twitter, including yours truly, who I don't care to have a reaction from Kevin Durant. I don't tweet anything. He's not supposed to listen to me or read my tweets. That's not what Sports Talk Radio is for. But here he is ripping Russo and ripping Sports Talk Radio. And in the same breath, this guy is leaving Brooklyn where he came to and basically is going to leave that franchise in shambles because if they do trade him, there's no way they get equal value back. I know they say they want a star and some picks. You're never going to get equal the value that Kevin Durant is as a player. So this is even – I never even thought this was possible. I thought he'd at least see it through in Brooklyn. I didn't think he'd win, but I thought he'd see it through in Brooklyn. The fact that he would want out now, I think it's sad and pathetic. And really, regardless where he ends up, it's not going to be a good look for KD. And maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he shouldn't care. But from the public perception, it is not going to be a good look for KD.
So speaking of his, like, Twitter issues, he mixed it up with my colleague Robin Lundberg a couple of days ago. And – I thought this was kind of weak, though, by Durant, because Lumberg put out a tweet about Durant and about, you know, he, and rightfully so, Lumberg would like to know, like, what are the reasons why you want to be traded? You haven't, Durant has not been public about that. And then Durant writes to Lumberg and says, well, what exactly do you want addressed? And Robin said, you know, why are you leaving? Or what's causing you to demand the trade? And Kevin Durant writes back, keep dreaming, Robin. Well, why do you ask him what he wants addressed if you're going to respond with keep dreaming? I thought that was really weak by Durant. You
know, by the way, Robin has been, nobody knows the NBA better than Robin Lumberg, and he's been more than fair on the Nets. If anything, I think he's an admitted Nets fan. And what's wrong with that question? Everybody wants to know that. Why are you leaving? Is it because of Kyrie Irving and the way the Nets treated him? Do you think you can't win a championship? Why? That's it. It's a simple question. Is that unreasonable by the old school media to want to know why this guy all of a sudden, after signing a 4-year contract, wants out? Come on now.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with the question. But the issue is, Robin says he'd love for Durant to explain why he wants to be traded. Durant responds to him on Twitter and says, what would you like addressed? Robin writes back and says, why are you leaving? How does Kyrie factor in this? And he writes, keep dreaming. Well, why'd you ask him what he wants addressed then? You're just being, you know, being whatever. I can't say the word. There's two schools of thought on it. Like, he wants to be traded because the Nets aren't treating Kyrie Irving properly, or he wants to be traded because he's sick of Kyrie Irving. There's a big difference there. It'd be nice to know what the situation is.
Correct. And eventually somebody's going to find an answer. I mean, that is the number one question. So it's not a bad question. You're right. Why would KD even respond to that? He's so sensitive. It's disgusting. I can't wait for him to get the hell out of New York. And I know Brooklyn doesn't really count anyway, as far as sports go in New York. I can't wait for him to get the hell out of New York, so I don't have to deal with him and his baby BS ever again. Go win another championship with Golden State. I don't care. You're gonna get out of New York. You can't handle it here.
So angry.
Yeah. Well, it's annoying, this crap.
I have no issues with Kevin Durant. I like Kevin Durant. I just, to me, if he left Brooklyn and went to the Warriors and won a title, it's completely meaningless. Like, don't you want to win it in a way where you'd get some credit? You'd get no credit at all if you go win it in Golden State.
LeBron's won with Cleveland means more than anything else that he's done. And that just goes to show you. KD, had he stayed in OKC and won, he would be looked at in a completely different way. Now, maybe he doesn't care about that. That's fine.
I think that's what it is.
Well, that's great. But that doesn't mean that we have to look at him and his championship the same way. Not all championships are created equally. You don't think Patrick Ewing could have went somewhere and joined on and won a championship later in his career, or even, you know, toward the end of his career with the Bulls or whoever else? He would never even think about doing that. Or Barkley, the same thing. Although I guess Barkley with the Rockets, maybe a different story, but you get the point. Those guys tried to win as the guy on their teams. It doesn't happen. I don't look at them any less than I do Kevin Durant, because he's got two rings that he rode the coattails of Steph Curry and Draymond Green for.
He must have some beef with Brooklyn management. I mean, that has to be what it is.
He made the decision to come here because he said it was a great situation. They let him do whatever he wanted. Pick the players, pick the coach. Yep. I mean, it's ridiculous. And now he wants out after signing a contract.
If more people cared about the Nets, the story of them having Durant, Irving, and Harden, and then having it all being blown up in like 2 years would be a massive. I mean, it's one of the biggest failures in New York sports history.
Correct.
Nationally, that other people have to weigh in on that, but it's pretty bad.
Do you know how many calls I got on this in the last week or so?
How many?
Maybe one. Now, keep in mind, I'm on the air. I mean, since it's been going on here, I'm doing the overnights. I've actually filled in on the morning show. Like, no, I don't want to say nobody cares, because I do think that there are some passionate Net fans. Maybe they're too depressed to call about this, but if this were the Knicks, this would be people ripping him nonstop. It'd be going on for a week straight.
Right.
It'd still be going on today.
Yeah. People in New York don't care about it as much. You said this to me off the air. It's a bigger national story than local story. You're obviously right on that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
There is another sports topic going on, and I could not possibly care less about it. And I'm sure you don't. And it's probably because we're New Yorkers, and that's the whole college football realignment. I said this last week on Twitter. I could not possibly care less about the realignment. Just give me the 100 and 120 college football games that are on TV every Saturday with betting lines, and I'm happy. I'm there. I'm good to go. I'm locked in from noon to 2 in the morning. I don't care if UCLA's in the Big Ten. I don't care if, you know, Notre Dame is independent. If they're, it makes no difference. Just play the games. I'm fascinated that people think UCLA is a big deal. They haven't been a big deal in forever. I couldn't care less where these teams play. Just play the games and give me a point spread. What do you think?
Fair enough. I just think that it's weird. Now, I'm not as big a college football fan as you are. I used to be into it a lot, and I used to love those Saturdays. Like you said, you're betting games, waking up, watching it from noon on through the Hawaii USC games, whatever, late at night. Right. I just find so what's next? What is the alignment going to look like? Because to me, there is no Pac-12 without USC or UCLA. So, okay, fine. You want to blow up the Pac-12? Well, then what? We'll get used to the realignment. I don't like it because I'm traditional. I want that. But what does it mean in the big – does it mean anything in the landscape of these colleges? What does it mean for the lesser teams who are now the teams in the Pac-12 that you wouldn't – you only care about because they're playing USC or UCLA? What does it mean for those teams now?
Everything's about money. So they're going to create these mega conferences, and they'll have marquee matchups. You know, USC now, instead of playing all those dregs in the Pac-12 – now they'll play Michigan. Now they'll play Ohio State. And that means more ratings and more TV money. It's always about the money.
Bigger games is better for us. But yeah. what about you know, the consumer, the fan? What about the smaller schools, though? What happens to
Oregon State? Yeah, they'll go to the Big 12. That's supposedly what's rumored out there. Like the Big 12 now. I don't care about the Pac-12 is going to blow up. Yeah, like I don't care about the death of the Pac-12. Just give me 100 games on TV Saturdays with betting lines. I don't care what you call the conferences. They're just names anyway. I mean, doesn't mean that much. That's my feeling on it.
Well, then what about the Rose Bowl? And the Bowls games aren't the same anymore. Okay.
Just give me the national, the Final Four is what matters. And I think this will all lead to them expanding that. And they'll go to like 8 teams eventually. And then, more teams.
There's no good way to do it, though. If you're blowing up the conferences, which were based on geographic things, right? I'm assuming that most of them, like, if you're blowing that up, then what? I don't know how they're going to, like, then why would I care about the two last place teams in the Pac-12 ever? Like, I guess you wouldn't, right?
Yeah, but you never did before.
Well, but you care about the conference. If you're caring about who's winning the conference, right. Now you're taking the top teams out of that conference. Why would you? It was like Big East in basketball. The Big East basketball used to be great. Now, right. Do you give a crap about it?
No. I guess that, right. The thinking is that you'll care more about the Big 12. I mean, the Big 10 and less about, which again, okay, fine. I'll care more about the Big 10, less about the Pac 12. I just want to watch games. I don't care.
Right. That's fair.
What?
Yeah. I saw that tweeter tell you because you have a gambling problem. I saw
exactly. Yeah. What do I care what divisions they're in? And I don't care about the sport. Like I care about the NFL, you know, things in the NFL would bother me. This, you know, it's college. It's, you know, whatever. Last thing before we wrap up, I did the New Haven, Connecticut pizza tour over the weekend here. Like, you know, like there's all these places you're supposed to go to. It was a big debacle. I just got to say that right off the bat.
Why? Even just like logistically getting there or?
Well, no, there were like four places that I had on the list to go to, and one was closed.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be the, you know, everyone knows about Sally's and Don Pepe's or Frank Pepe's.
Frank Pepe's.
There's this other place called Modern that actually had better reviews on Yelp than Sally's. And I read a couple of things and everyone's like, Modern, you got to go to Modern a pizza. Went there and there was a sign on the door that said closed from June 27th to July 5th. So that was a dagger. And I just thought that Sally's and Frank Pepe's was the most overrated thing I've ever experienced. Now, listen, I'm in New York. I've had the city, you know, New York City pizza, Long Island pizza. This pizza at those two places, Sally's and Frank Pepe's, is as thin as a paper towel. It's thin crust, which I'm not crazy about. But so now I'm trying to judge on the flavor. The flavor was good, but it wasn't like you've got to go get this pizza. I compare both of those places to Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza. I know they have them in Florida and here in New York. I don't know around the rest of the country. It's Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza. It's thin, well done pizza. I prefer a regular, and you got to buy pies. I want to buy a slice. That's why give me Joe's on Carmine Street. And here's what I didn't like about Sally's too. Sally's gave off the impression like you're lucky to be here. It wasn't like an overly friendly or welcoming. It was like, listen, well, first, I'll give you a couple of details. Got there at 2:30 in the afternoon. And they say, we're not taking any more orders for the rest of the day. That's how busy you are. I mean, they're insanely, both places are insanely busy. The line for Frank Pepe's had about 100 people on it. There was no line for Sally's because they're more controlled chaos and organized. So 2:30, they say, we're not doing any more orders. The only way you get food is if you wait for a table. Okay, how long's the wait? The wait for a table is an hour. Okay, no problem. And then once you get to your table, the wait for your pizza will be another hour.
Oh my God.
So I left my name and that's when we went to Modern and then that was closed. So then we go back to Sally's and they have a big outdoor area with this massive tent and a bar and all these tables. So I get a drink at the bar and I notice there's all these open tables and I'm like, can we? Oh, and they say, when I asked about going into the outdoor patio area, they're like, you can order snacks and appetizers. You can't order pizza there. I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, well, then you go there and they have all these open tables. So I said, you know, I'm waiting for a text that my table's ready. Well, are these like some of the tables that are available? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, how come they don't see people? He's like, the bartender's like, listen, our oven is 80 years old and it's really slow. So we don't like to have people waiting at the tables.
Oh my God.
And waiting for, you know, they gave you the aura of the place is like, you know,
right. You're lucky.
You'll do what I say. You're lucky to be here and have our wonderful pizza that is basically sauce on a saltine cracker with some grated cheese on it. So I don't know how these places, you know, I was reading an Eater article from like 2014 that was like, you know, these are the places and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I'm not like one of these, like I'm from New York. New York's the best. New York. But like, you can't even compare, like, you know, I mean, listen, I think the pizza, I have places here in Long Island that are better than what I experienced in New Haven. I posted a TikTok video, which is gross enough. I didn't even know how to do it. I had to have like, you know, a kid help me. And, you know, people in the comments were like, this is the greatest. This is the best. But like, you must not have ever had New York pizza if you think New Haven's the best. So I need you to go there and let me know what you think.
I've had Frank Pepe's before.
Oh, okay.
I remember enjoying it. here's all you need to know. If I did, I think I had one of the other famous places one point, but I don't even remember it. I'll never forget what DeFara's pizza tastes like in Brooklyn that time that we went. So that to me, when anybody asks, oh, the best, for me, that was like, that trumps everything. And I remember it vividly, the experience, the taste, being blown away at the time. So I don't think anything compares for me personally to DeFara in Brooklyn.
DeFara's and Joe's on Carmine are Tom Brady. And the New Haven pizza is Drew Locke. Poor, Drew Locke got beat up by the US Open. So, yeah. So I just want to get that out there. So, and they cut the slices so weird. They're like one third of a New York slice. Like, what? How am I eating this? It's all, can I just get a real slice for Christ's sake? So I just had to get that off my chest.
I like it. And now I want to go back to DeFara, though. Forget the New Haven stuff. Let's go back to DeFara.
I know, but the old guy's not there. It's so sad. But I would go back anytime you wanted.
Just a pain in the ass to get to, but
yeah.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Right. This was not.
Yeah.
And on that note, we wrap up this segment and train of thoughts for this week. Sal, thank you as always, and we'll see you next week.
All right. See you later.
Take care.
All right. My many, many thanks to Brian Windhorst for coming on and for Sal Licata coming on for Train of Thoughts. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, subscribe. And if you could review the pod on Apple, that would help tremendously. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and review. Helps a lot. And rate. All right. Last week, Aaron Andrews was on the pod. 2 weeks ago, Scott Van Pelt. 3 weeks ago, Biz Nasty. Make sure you check those out if you have not listened to those. All good interviews. And that's it. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.